Morning poppets, back out in the woods, and it's not going to come out on audio obviously, but it's actually snowing here. Woohoo! Pretty nice, pretty serene, and yeah, feeling chipper, feeling good, feeling sprightly. That's right, it's Jack Tidball here, host of the Tidbits Pod, if that wasn't already abundantly clear. But yeah, I'm going to keep this intro brief because, as you've already clocked, this episode is a long one. So that is because this time I had the privilege of catching up with my mate Moosey, better known as rapper and all-round good guy and entertainment mogul PTM. We chatted about life, the music industry, the creative process. There's a deep dive into some of his songs. Yeah, the most exciting part, he reveals the name of his next album, which is pretty bloody cool. So, yeah, we met up over video chat on the internet. I was in the UK, he was in Germany. Annoyingly and inevitably, the quality does drop and the sound goes a little bit fuzzy at points, but you know, particularly, I think it was about 45 minutes in, I had to cut out a chunk because it was unsalvageable. But hopefully you're listening and it won't be too obvious where that cut was. But anyway, if you're a first time listener here for PTM, welcome. Make yourself comfortable, kick your shoes off. Mi casa, su casa. Yeah, lovely to have you aboard, and I hope you have a nice time. Once this one's finished, feel free to have a little delve into the Tidbits Pod back catalogue. But yeah, before you do that, here's the actual podcast with PTM.
Yay! Hello, mate.
That should do.
That should do.
How are you?
See, these things never start smoothly, man. Like, have we got sound? Have we got video? Is this actually, are you hearing me loud and clear? It's like talking to an astronaut. Yes.
No. It's actually better than back when Felix Baumgartner was trying to do his jumping shit. So I'm all good.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? It's
just kind of, yeah, kind of. It's like, Felix, you stood up and breathing. It's like, no, fuck no, fuck no.
We put all our effort into the video equipment, but Felix can't breathe.
Like, welcome. Yeah, that was fucking ruthless, though, when he was spinning like crazy and he was still somehow maintaining the ability to stay conscious. That was amazing. But,
that kid, man. Well, I should actually make this into a proper podcast, shouldn't I? And maybe introduce, but I'm not sure what to call you. Like, am I calling you PTM? Am I calling you Moose Burger? Or what's the vibe?
We're about to do this shit right now?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, damn. Well, I'm not prepared, all right? Where's the makeup artist? I need all of that shit. Nah, I'm just playing.
Oh, lovely. I've actually shouted you out a couple of times. This is blowing my mind that you're giving me some time here, bro.
Yeah, no worries. I actually love the fact that, well, you know, that's the thing about you, as far as I'm concerned. Like, you're supposed to do some sort of shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to, you know, take that tidballness and it's like somehow spread it into the world, or like have an outlet for it. You know what I mean?
See, what I'm doing now.
Definitely. I actually remember when we was in Auckland, when we all came together, it was like Adam, Oscar, Julia, William, like the whole fucking bunch.
Yes.
And before I had to leave, the last thing that I came to your room and I was asking you once again to tell the story about you puking the dolphin in the face. So like, you know, just take all of that, because you got so many fucking great stories and shit, and like, just take it and do something with it. You know what I mean? Because it's a shame that the world has, you know, no ability to have access to it as of now. But now we're getting there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we'll see, man. Like, what I want this to be, and obviously talk about it if you want to, but I'd say this thing is wide open to anything, but just try not to, let's not go down a wormhole about coronavirus and Donald Trump and that, like, because I think.
Well, if enough. We're not going to talk about my savory, then I'm out. No. I'm just playing. So we're not going to do Corona. We're not going to do Trump. We're going to leave all that in 2020.
Yeah, because this is actually time of recording. I don't know when I'm going to put it out, but this is 2nd of Jan. So fresh start, new year, new me. Yep. Got me brows down, fresh manicure, fresh ped. As if any of that's possible. But as you can see, I haven't shaved in a little while. It's all getting a bit feral, but we're having a nice time. Yeah, man.
But I've been used to seeing your face with that beard. Like you being shaved, that's unusual to me.
And you should see it. It's well, it's pretty scary under there. Like it's got its own little thing going on. But my goodness me, yeah. I've once shaved because I was trying to do like a little design in it. Like did Craig David make it over to Germany?
Yeah, like the talking about fucking these women one like all week, or like meeting this woman, like making love on Wednesday, that's getting him. Fucked up on Tuesday.
We yeah, make so
love by Wednesday, and on Friday and Saturday, which yeah, exactly.
So when I was trying to just give myself a space so I could, like, every encounter with a woman would be the full 7 days of Craig, just all in one day, every day. But yeah. Yeah, it just end up by just going back. God, if I put glasses on, I would look like I'm 15 again, and it's it ain't pretty, bro. So I'm keeping the beard for the time being.
Just like you jumping on stage at that Holy Festival, pretending it was your birthday.
Yeah, yeah, they would just say, yeah. "Oh, hi, guy," and the crowd were just so despondent as well. They're just like, "Hey, Is anyone having a good time?" And normally that's the crowd going, yay, but nothing. Is anyone here doing it? And then you've got really sort of specific, okay, is it anyone's birthday? Like really digging. And I was just like, yeah. Right here, buddy, you got your thing. And still, like that picture, I'm on stage and I'm like trying to do, you know, I'm trying to look like Freddie Mercury or something, but. No,
yeah, like you're just trying to get all the good vibes and like all the praise you deserve because it's your fucking birthday and shit.
Yeah. Lying through my teeth, but man, this is going too much into me, man. I want to know where you are. What city are you in? You seem to have moved around Germany a lot.
Well, right now I'm with my mom, so I'm at my mom's place, which is Düsseldorf. Düsseldorf. I can just. Do the fucking proper German pronunciation.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, I'm in Düsseldorf right now with the family. I've been here the day before Christmas. Then it was Christmas time. Obviously, always good to spend it with the family and shit.
Yeah.
New Year's, same thing. And now I'm actually, on Monday, I'm actually going back to my hometown in Germany, I guess, which is Hamburg City, which is up north. You know, where the weather is all bad and gray and rainy and shit.
Sounds good to me.
So yeah, that's why I'm my home base right now. Yeah, sounds good for you. Just like jolly old England.
Yeah, what? Lovely, lovely. Yeah. Yeah. So is it quite easy to get back and forth? Like, do you get down there for the holidays every time, or how often are you back up in Düsseldorf?
Well, it depends. We kind of had a rough couple of 2 years, which I'm not gonna get into, but I used to come down here weekly, but that obviously I didn't maintain that habit, so I actually was here. Well, then obviously, you know, the thing happened that we didn't want to talk about, Corona.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
made it, you know, inevitable. Yeah, it's inevitable, exactly. So that made it more difficult to have that frequency going, but yeah, I try to do my best to come down here whenever I can. Keeps me grounded, keeps me in touch with what's going on here and like out of my zone. Like before I came out the day before Christmas, it was actually like I had my last day of work probably about a week before that. So then it was just me finishing my personal year. Like, because I knew that when I come back home, like, you know, that's it. Then it's just family time and the year is done. But there were still some things that I wanted to get done for myself and for PTM, and just reflect at the year and where I want to take shit next year. So all of that. Hell yeah. And I actually had a tough time letting it go. Like, I was like, I'm going to be there by this date. And I was like, nah, so much shit to do. Like, you know, still going to do shit. So I was like, and then it just kept moving up until the, you know, that one day before Christmas Eve. So I literally just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting at.
But, yeah. So is it a bit of a break? So is all the studio and stuff, that's all down in Hamburg then? I don't know whether you're recording it in the same place now, or are you still doing in the same studio that you were doing like Cock Back and Shoot and all the like the album tracks and stuff?
That's in Düsseldorf though.
Okay.
Yeah. So my producer, he's actually from Düsseldorf, because I've been to his place for the first time 2017. So he's in Düsseldorf, because I was based in Düsseldorf back then. Ah. You know, as you develop and grow more into that rap style, you'll eventually become, I guess. I got my own shit now, so I got my own home studio now, which is recent news, I guess. And it just gives me more freedom, because I'm not depending on anybody no more. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, so the best songs for the experience, as far as I'm concerned, is when I was writing shit here in Düsseldorf and I could call him up, he had a free spot, and I could record the song like a day or two after I actually wrote it, because mentally I was still in that same space, you know, of like when I wrote it, so I felt every word, obviously, when back in the day, or like how it usually is I hit the studio and I try to tap in the frequency that I was at when I was writing it, but it could be 3 months ago, or like 2 months ago, or like half a year ago, you know, something like that. So that's always difficult for me. And long story short, now not only do I have the opportunity to be more self-sufficient and have a lot more output in general, because I'm a lot faster. You know, I'm gonna just be back home in my crib, especially now with, you know, Corona and shit. I'll just be at my crib and like smashing out songs. Like, I got songs piled up. I just got to record them. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
So it's going to be, I'm actually going to be flooding. I'm going to be flooding this year, like for real, on some real shit. I'm going to drop my second album. I'm going to drop probably 20 to 30 singles this year on top of that.
Oh, my God.
And we'll just see. Yeah. So we'll just see what percentage. Like, I want the album to be produced by my producer, obviously, because I'm able to do everything by myself. But then again, I'd be way too arrogant when I'm saying, or like believing that I could be able to create or develop the same or finish the same product without him.
Yeah. So with that, it sounds a bit like.
Hello?
There you go. Oh yeah, sorry, the internet just went weird there. But I'll say it sounds a bit like, you know, if you're talking to an actor or something, and they're, you know, you've got that emotion, you've got all that stuff happening, but then if they ask you to then say, all right, can you just bring that back 3 months later? It's tougher. So are you typically from writing? You said you've got a big pile stacked up, but is it best to just do it then and there, like almost recording in the studio sort of thing?
Yes, for sure. So let me give you an example. It was two songs, actually. One just recently dropped, The Way I Feel, which is going bananas in the UK again. I'm loving it. Or like bananas to me compared to what I was looking at before. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going bananas in like millions of people, but comparing to what I used to get, it's going bananas. So that one, I was here in Düsseldorf. I was at a friend's place, and I was supposed to go to the studio to record. But then last minute, my producer was like, can't make it. So I was like, just stuck walking outside, you know, smoking hella weed, enjoying the sun. That was summertime.
Yeah.
And I wrote that song, and it was one of those songs that basically just writes itself. So it's like tapping into pure inspiration or whatever you want to call it. And you just start it and you just barely, you know, stop the pen, or like, you know, stop typing, you just keep going until it's done.
So I'd say that, and I recorded, that sort of sounded it like it started with the hook, like that well, that sample, that's
that's
just, you can listen to that on its own. Like, it's such a
for sure, definitely. And that's always easier too when there's no hook, because usually I do the hook first, because the hook tells you about where the song's gonna go. So there I just had the sample as the hook, so I knew that it was just gonna be about the way I can feel. So that because he did have time spontaneously. Same thing for that German song I put out, Alles was wird. I wrote that, like, I'm gonna make it short. I was just back in my hometown where I used to graduate high school and shit. And I met up with a friend who was like, you know, I'm starting to do music too. Let me see what it do. So I came over, we made the beat, and same thing. I just started writing. I was like, nah, you know, he was like, do you want food? I was like, nah, leave me just alone. I want to finish this. You know, I'm in the zone right now. So fuck off. In a nice way, obviously. And then I ended up recording the next day. So typically that's the best way to operate. And that's what I'm going to do now that I got my own shit. You know, I can just, I can take time to record shit that is already done. At the same time, if I'm in the studio, if I'm just back home chilling and I come up with some shit, I can straight up go record. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's definitely the way to do it.
Yeah, you said, I listened back to Cock Back and Shoot today, and there's a few references to a basement. is it all just, you know, you'll be waking up in the morning, you have an idea, and then you've got it there. Like, you can just literally in a day get it down, or because there's always stuff. I don't know, like, whether it's just me being an old crazy man or whatever, but I remember watching 8 Mile. And he's saving up his pennies for studio time and all this sort of stuff. But it just seems a lot easier now. Like, you can just throw down, just do it all yourself.
That's true to a degree, because as I said, the guy has so much experience that obviously, because Sunshine, for example, and a couple of other songs are not made with Dude, and they're more coming out of a home studio setting. Obviously, me personally, I do hear the difference, and I do know what's not the same quality as that. But yes, it is way different these days, because obviously anybody can just record music and put it out. Like, it's no biggie to do that, you know what I mean? And at the same time, it's just about the marketing now. Like, anybody can record shit, but how do you get heard? You know, I bet you there is so much beautiful music on SoundCloud that no one's ever gonna hear, just because there's so much music available. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just flooded. Everyone's just in a sea. And even if, even if they have got a good song, they might be just promoting the wrong one. Or, because I heard that people now, they'll just listen to the intro and then they'll skip to the middle. And then once they sort of go, oh, the middle sounds good, then they'll go back to the start and start over. Like, they're not even patient enough to just let it play and then go, oh, I like that song. It's like, am I going to like it? Skip to the middle. And then, oh yeah, I am going to like that. And then they go back and decide. Like, it's such a weird way to digest music. And
yeah, that's
and then albums on top of,
like,
that.
bro, you're older than me. Exactly. That's what I was going to talk about. Like, you're older than me, so you remember these days way better than I do. Because back in the day, when there was like an artist dropping an album, which obviously he needed to go through a major label to even be able to do that.
Yeah.
But then people were like driving to the store to pick up the CD. They were already looking at the CD like, oh, this is the artwork. All right. So what do they got in here? They bought it. If they didn't have a CD spot in their car, they drove back home and they shut everything out, and all they did was listen to that fucking album. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, the attention span and the way music is consumed has just changed so fucking much that obviously it hurts in a way, because if you pour your everything into your music, or like your songs, the lyrics are just, you know, I always like, I don't know, basically my songs and like my music, if you listen to all of my music, you may, and you're a native speaker, you know me probably better than plenty of people do that know me in real life, but they just don't speak English that well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's always, obviously you do want people to take the time and actually listen to that shit and whatever, But then again, there's no sense in complaining. You just got to adjust to what the game is right now. And that's what I had to do to, get that little bus going for myself, because it's just no point in complaining. You know what I mean? Like, it's just what it is.
Yeah, because I think you had, like when we were talking way back, you had sort of songs or at least some raps or whatever written down, but it just wasn't all put together. And then I think it was Save Me that just sat there for ages, and it was just like, when's this guy gonna do more? Like, because I mean, we're talking about hooks, like that was crazy, the hook there.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I didn't even plan to release Save Me on DSPs, which is like Spotify, Apple Music, like streaming services. Okay. I didn't even plan to do that. So I was in Hamburg City. That was with my, this is fucking really turning into a good fucking interview, mate. I appreciate that. So hold up. I'm actually in Hamburg City with my ex-girl. Like now she's my ex-girl. Back then she was like my main piece. Yeah. And, she was obviously a native from Hamburg and she had shit to do. So I was like, all right, let me just book some studio time. Mm. So I did. I booked some studio time. I showed up there. And the guy was a talent scout for Universal Music in Germany. Oh, man. And second time I recorded there, I was doing Save Me. And he was impressed in a way. He was not like, damn, you're the next big thing or whatever, but he was impressed enough to be like, you know, here's this code. If you just type that in at that distributor, it's going to be free. So just fucking release it, you know, and see what happens and shit. Oh. So, you know, that's the thing that people probably don't know. Like, I always knew that I could write, I could rap. Like, I always knew that it was not, like, I was not doing it for, just for fun, or like I was not doing it. Like, I've been writing all my life, whether it was like stories, poems, like all that shit. Like, writing was literally something that has existed in my life since I can think back. And when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life after traveling too and shit, I was like, you know, I don't have that thing where I can look back and be like, you know, you always did this as a child. And I was like, wait, you do, you dumb fuck. Like, you was always writing. You do. What are you complaining about? So it's actually a journey, bro, of like me putting out Save Me, then me being confident enough to hit stages, and like me slowly but steadily developing in PTM, who I am today and who I keep working on, and like putting out the merch and shit. That was a journey. So long story short, Save Me was just that random incident why I put it out. And then I was like, well, you're doing it anyway, so you might as well put it out and you might as well try to do it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you were using a studio and stuff back then. Like, does that mean that one's got, I don't know, like more fingers in the pie? Is that like stuck to a label or something, that one? And then the rest is independent?
No, it's not. It's all of it is independent. So basically what the guy just did, he gave me a promo code, which made the distribution for free. That I could distribute Save Me on all platforms and all that independently.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But that was like the online label from Universal Music. So obviously he had promo codes for that shit and he gave it to me. And that was my first distribution.
Man, that's awesome. Because I mean, I was reading about some big artists. Obviously, like Prince is the one about like falling out with his label, and Kesha, and all these big artists. But it's such a game of, you've got your art and you want people to hear it, but then at the same time, the labels want your art and they want to give you the smallest piece of the pie that you're going to be happy with.
Exactly, bro. Like, I truly believe that record labels are going to be obsolete within the next 1 or 2 decades. Like, I genuinely believe that, because like for every fucking artist just starting out or whatever, this is like some gems, like probably some gems going to be in there, what I'm saying. So basically the new radio is playlisting, right?
Yeah.
So the new thing that decides whether you're going to be big or not is playlisting. So let's say back in the day it was radio, and labels were like paying for radio spots and shit. They still do. They're paying program directors, short-term PDs, for some plays and shit. So now you're on Spotify, so you probably know about Rap Caviar.
Yeah.
which is like the biggest rap playlist generated by Spotify itself, right?
Yeah.
So let's say
the caviar, the cream of the cream, or whatever they call it. But to get
which
in
it,
there,
it's not sell your soul, like it's right? not. If you boil it down to fucking quality of rap and shit, it's not even the best, but that's, you know, you can, that's just subjective. That's just, you could argue that.
Yeah.
But the fact is that playlists now decide who's actually becoming famous or not. So let's say Rap Caviar has currently, let me actually just look it up. So they have a couple of million fucking followers right now, right? Let me just actually just look it up. So let's say PTM got in there for about a month. So they got 13.5 million followers right now. Let's assume that I somehow, which is not going to happen like that, but somehow I end up being in Rap Caviar for about a month. That means that I'm going to have like at least 10 fucking million people listening to my shit, which means that if half of them like it, or like even 10% of it like it, which is more reasonable to assume, that means I fucking made it. You know what I mean? Especially me, because I do have that catalog already, which they can then look into and, like, you know what I mean? Figure out whether they like it or not. But the point is that even a label, they can get like, all right, so let's say there's a big fucking hip hop artist. He signed to a major label, but all that major label can do is ask Spotify and be like, you know, we got this artist with that song. Do you put it in Rap Caviar? They can get told no.
So they're the new gatekeepers. So they're the new like, it used to be, hey, here's the radio, and the disc jockey was the guy that's just choosing and making people's careers go.
Yeah.
But with these, the risk of a playlist is, you know, with radio, it would be, this is a new guy, this is the thing. They'd give a bit of setup and a bit of context. True. But now, if you're in a playlist, you're in one of, I don't know how long the playlist is. It's probably about 100 songs.
Nah, it's actually just 40.
Oh, just 40, but it's still,
it's 30 to 40.
Your name and stuff, like, it could get lost, or they'll go, oh, I like that song, but what was it called? Because no one's going to, you know, no one's going to be actually looking at the names of the songs. They're just going to be playing it at a party or whatever, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, is that not something to just say your name 100 times in a song?
that's what I'm going to do, just in case I get a Rap Caviar, just have an ad lib be like, PDM, PDM, PDM. No, but like the gist of what I was trying to say is that basically major labels, they can get told no by the gatekeepers. Plus, they rob you of your masters. They take your publishing. Like, they take all of that away from you. And that's the reason, like, especially now with Corona, because usually artists are getting paid twice a year, the advance, then when the album recoups, if they sign fucking 360 deals, they don't even own their merchandise. So they live off touring money, which is now gone. So now you see like big time artists too, who like are signed to a major label, but they don't own their master, they don't own their publishing, so they're not making any money off their music. They putting out like Fashion Nova ads and like, you know, all that type of fuck shit on their Instagram because they're actually running out of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because touring is gone.
Yeah.
So that's just not where you want to be at, because I did turn down, like last year, I turned down a $20,000 offer to sell my whole catalog.
Oh, but I mean, that's years of work. and then they expect you to then tour like a traveling circus. Like, they own your songs at that point. If you toured and played your songs, you have to pay them.
Like basically they would have asked me to remove the songs and they'd re-upload them on their label. Obviously it would reach a lot more people because it is a label, but at the same time, I would not be benefiting at all.
Yeah.
And I put about 10,000 euros into my whole catalog, like licensing, clearing samples, recording, mix mastering, all that. So if you cut the taxes, I would have like made no money, but lost all of my shit. If I was more desperate, and not knowing, like, if I didn't study the game for so long and see how the music industry works nowadays, I would have probably done it, because 20,000 people, 20,000 euros, like, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm thinking like, you know, if they're willing to offer me $20,000, it means that to them, right now it's worth about $100,000.
Yeah.
Because they know they can recoup that money. So I was actually like, hell nah, you know, I felt hella honored that these type of offers are rolling in and shit, but hell nah.
Yeah, no, this is it. And it's just such a tightrope between getting your stuff out there, because obviously with their sort of clout and the money they have and everything behind and their name, they can be like, look, here it is. You'll have a little spark of it. But then all they're essentially making you at that point is they're just making you, like, you're not an artist at that stage. You're just a face for the marketing or whatever. Like, we've got the product and you've got to do a song and dance about it, but it makes, you've already got your money. Like, I don't know. It's so hard.
So the thing is, basically in one sentence, record labels make you famous while you make them rich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's say I was approached by a major label and they'd be fucking wanting to build me up. They got this whole machinery that's been proven over time and shit. Even though the reason I'm saying is that they're going to be obsolete within the next 1 or 2 decades is because anything they do, you can do. You know what I mean? Like, if not on that bigger scale, then you can do it if you got the funds later on. So basically you don't need them. And you don't need to, like, bro, just picture this, right? If I would assign to a label, I wouldn't be able to be like, all right, I'm going to release 20 singles next year. This is the day where I'm going to drop my album. This is what I'm going to drop, you know, to promote it, or like, you know, have these singles come out this and that way. You also sign away your creative control. So why would you do that? Because you could be done with the album. They pay me in advance, right? They pay me in advance. I create an album and they just don't put it out, which they are allowed to do, because then you're just sitting on the shelf. Then you're one of these artists that are signed to like a fucking major label, but for 3 years, nothing's going to be put out because they actually decide when something's going to drop and what's going to drop and all that type of shit.
Yeah. And that's going to risk the quality of the album as well. Like, so for example, they could go the other way. They might not put you on the shelf. They might go, actually, we've got hype here. I want another album next month, and you might not be ready for it or whatever. So
exactly.
If anything, they'll put unnecessary pressure, or they'll just fuck the whole thing. That's the thing. I mean, so half the game just sounds like a business.
Basically, that's another way to look at it too. A record label advance is just a high interest loan. Because if you don't manage to recoup it, you know, like, you actually owe the label. You know what I mean? Like, if you blow your advance and you don't recoup the money that they gave you as advance, you fucking owe the label.
Oh yeah, that's
nice. Because at the end of the day, it's just a loan. So if you don't recoup the money, like, long story short, bro, I'm pretty proud to already look back and be like, all right, so I did all of this based off the strength of myself and what I did and what I, you know, decided to do and shit.
Yeah.
And there's a reason, like,
I was about to say, because just having the skills and having the actual back catalog and the songs and everything, that's just one element. But think of how many people that have done really well out of the stuff that surrounds it. It's a Jay-Z lyric, and is it? It's like he says, like, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman.
Yes.
And the amount of people, like, say, take 50 Cent, for example, from his music, he probably didn't make as much as he made selling vitamin water. But because he'd done the music, that's obviously opened the door for him. Or Dr. Dre, he was in the game for decades, and then he makes more money than he ever did with music, selling headphones. It's just such a weird thing, but you've got to be there making the music, making the good product to give you that opportunity. But it's like, when you dive in, and, like, it's good that you're doing all your merch as well, because you never know, like, what's just going to blow up at any point. So just put your finger in a lot of, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's another story for itself. But what I was always going to say too, I never wanted to be the guy, because I told you I was always writing, but I wasn't always rapping. You know, that just happened later on in life. But the thing is, I always wanted to be the guy who's making a shitload of money writing songs that people are going to perform, you know, like easy pop songs with, like, they're easy to write. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to write a cheesy, you know, pop song that's going to stick to somebody's head. I always wanted to be the guy who's writing shit, other people perform, I still make money and no one knows who the fuck I am. But at the same time, how are people going to know that I can write songs? You know, if I just write my songs by myself and not have any sort of outlet where people can listen and be like, damn, he's a good songwriter. Like, damn, I like, you know what I mean? Like, somehow you have to do something to get noticed. But yeah, now I actually want to be fucking rapping on stage and shit. Yeah. And be that type of guy. But that was just a development over years as well.
I mean, would you ever consider writing for other people? Like, have you, say, got something that might sound really good with, say, like a female vocal or something, and you'd be like,
bro, I already did that.
Give away your babies. Like, you've done that already.
Well, to a degree, I did that because my Peace to Mankind song, I wrote the lyrics for the female part, and I did come up with a melody. So all she had to do was sing it.
Okay. Yeah, so, and then did she put that out herself, or is that's still with you, isn't it, on Peace to Mankind, still on your Spotify?
Yeah, that's with me. But no, hell yeah, I'd love to write for other people too and shit, not right now, because I want to write for the big dogs, you know what I mean? Or like, I want to be able and then write for people, not putting it out there, but just writing for other people because it's the writing that I love the most.
Mm. Like, how are you choosing these collaborations?
Definitely.
There's, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it Kupka or Kupka? Like, there's one song with a dual credit in it.
Kupka.
Like, with that, like, it's just a totally different sort of vibe, but I like it, man. It sounds angry. It sounds like, it's like, yes, but at the same time, you've got a sort of, it's got a broader appeal. It's like a sort of, how do I describe it? Like, maybe like a 30 Seconds to Mars kind of guy, you know, with that sort of scream, that passion.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
How did that come about? Are you friends from home, or is that like an
online? Well, that's actually my producer, bro.
The one that makes the beats?
No. That's the guy I'm recording. Not all of them. So lately, we're talking about lately, right?
Yeah, lately.
Yeah. So that's actually, he made the beat and he's singing on the hook. And that's actually the guy that I go to who's doing like that's the guy in Düsseldorf with the studio where I go to, I record it. He's mixing, mastering it. That's actually that guy. And he also made the beat for Pay Bills and Then Die.
You can hear it. He's guitars in the back.
Yeah, he's a metal guy. Like he's a metal hard rock type of guy. And Pay Bills and Then Die is a hard rock metal instrumental. Mm. It's just me. With these aggressive kind of screamed lyrics and vocals that I put on there myself. But lately, for example, he just showed me the beat and he already had the hook on it. So that was an easy one again, which is, you know, that's another thing that I do like about myself. If I'm, actually
you're the only one say that likes
right here. I'm not trying to pat on my back too much, but it's tough and people tell it all the time to me. That's why I'm just, you know, speaking about it so openly. It's tough to put PTM into a box musically.
Yeah, I mean, even because on that one album,
ain't no telling
different ones.
Yeah, ain't no telling what I might do. Like, it's gonna be jazz vibes, jazz influences, like Heaven Above. It's gonna be that hard rock metal type of music plus my vocals leaning towards that direction. I'm just experimenting. Next year I'm gonna drop a song too, which is again produced, or like the beat is made by my producer as well, which is, I don't even know what the fuck it is, you know what I mean? But
okay, yeah.
I'm just experimenting and, you know, doing you know, that's what I mean, like, I'm the lyrics guy, so that's why I'm not bound by genres or whatever, because I can work my way through anything.
Yeah, I think it's there's different ways you can sort of judge it, but I think production wise it's probably, is it the start of Deceiving, where you've got, it's almost just like an old-timey radio and it's pitched up kind of a bit like a College Dropout Kanye sort of beat, but then you against that just works so well, man. But I mean, I think lyrically, what was the one? Internet Sensations is well up there. But this is 2 years ago. I think we're talking about an old album here. Like, I don't know, we should probably go into like the newer.
Yeah, we are.
Because this is all way in the past. I'm probably just digging in, but it's fresh in my mind. But there's yeah, it seems to be like every couple of months you'd do something, and you're already at a fast pace. Like, what's inspired you to,
yeah,
you know, do you said you've got all these singles coming out next year. A lot of people would just, like, let's say if you are on a label, you would sit on it and go, okay, I'm good for a couple of years now. Like, what's the rush to get it all out?
Yeah, well, that's actually a good question. Basically, because of what we talked about earlier about the attention span isn't like back in the day, what I was describing you, like just shutting everything out to listen, truly listen to that album. So I know that people will, if even that, because what you said, like skipping to the middle and then deciding whether they're going to listen to the whole. I know that people are willing to listen to one song at a time. So I'm actually going to drop so much music. First of all, because I feel that there is no such thing for me in my position as saturating the market.
Who do you contact to get on these lists or something? Because that seems like a big, you might want to make.
True. Well,
is it the same people that make the decisions for all the lists, or are there different, you know, different people to contact and stuff? So you've got Caviar, you've got.
All right. So,
you know, all those different.
So I'm going to be very. I'm going to break it all down for you.
Mm.
But at the same time, I'm going to be very cautious as of how many gems I'm putting it into it, because me and my photographer, we're actually working on an ebook which people can buy probably by the end of next year, where I'm just giving all my secrets as far as marketing, because now I'm at a position where it's actually, all right, he did achieve this and that, so he's got something that I can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put shit into it. Like, if I would have had that ebook when I started out and put a save me, I'd be so appreciative of the fact of all the initiative myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Break it down for you. So we have playlists by just random people like you and me, like your private playlists that you decide to put up, so you can, you know, this is what I want to hear when I'm running, and this is what I want to hear in the background when I'm studying and shit.
Yeah.
Got that. Then you got the ones you want to be in because they're so fucking big and they're actually created by Spotify themselves. And then you got algorithm playlists like Release Radar, like Your Daily Drive, like Your Daily Wellness. And you actually obviously want to cover all those. For the Spotify ones, everybody who's a profile can pitch a song to the people of Spotify. You have station, the instruments, the lyrics. You can write a little story about the song too. So like a short pitch of about 200 or 300 or 400, the big ones. That's the way to go into. They'd be really fucking impressed by a song that I put out. They would, in theory, be able to put it at fucking Repcavia. So that's how you reach the fucking Spotify curated playlists, right?
Yeah.
And that's the big dogs. Yeah. That's the fucking big dog.
Because is it... I mean,
and the other Spotify ones, well...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. You could say about the other types, like how they work.
Well, the algorithm is always going to be the... like, it's just going to be, obviously, the algorithm. People listening to your shit. To anybody trying to... just playing it yourself, you're not doing you any favors at all. You're just messing up your own algorithm. So you're messing up your own Spotify and your own career. And imagine there's people because, all right, so when I'm into my, well, the internet is fucked up right now.
Yeah, this has gone a bit weird.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's better. I don't know what the hell's going on. Sorry, yeah, I think it cut out just as you were saying after the you know, getting on Rap Caviar or whatever, but you're saying about the algorithm playlist and how that would work and getting on those. It's like you said, it messes up your own Spotify somehow.
Well, if you do play your, if you're the one who's like having your own music on repeat the whole day And unfortunately, there's way too many people out there that do that because they can't stand the fact they don't know how to market it, or they just want to see numbers to bullshit themselves at the end of the day and impress people that they know, I guess.
Mm.
What I was trying to say is if I log into that artist's portal, I can see everything. I can see Drake's numbers on a daily basis. I can see my own, obviously. I can see, like, any artist that is on Spotify, I can see that shit.
Oh, damn.
So I can see people being fake out there, and it's way too many, but it doesn't matter. So the algorithm playlist is obviously people listening to your music a lot, putting it into their own private playlist. So the algorithm does see all of that and recognizes all of that. And then the algorithm puts your songs into like daily drive, you know, daily wellness, time capsule, on repeat, summer rewind, your top songs 2020, like all of that, that's algorithm playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just gotta, basically all you gotta do is put out good quality music and have actual fans for the algorithm to be able to work.
Yeah, so it's almost like a circle, because you need to get the algorithm to get the fans, but then if the fans, you got to get them to listen to get back on the algorithm. And it's just sort of, so I suppose once you've got your foot in the door and you've got one, you know, one song in the algorithm, then the chances are if you release another one, then it will build and build.
Exactly. And build. Exactly. And like, just not spilling all of my tea too much, or like spilling my shit too much. But that's just one of the reasons why I want to put out a song once a week.
Mm. I mean, it's because the algorithm, like, well, I suppose actual people just don't buy music anymore, do they? It's all subscriptions, isn't it, I guess?
Most of it is subscriptions. I was actually amazed by the fact that a lot of people bought my album at iTunes and shit. But it's not the way to go, especially now that Apple has Apple Music. And, you know, why buy music now at iTunes? If you got Apple Music, you can stream it. So yeah, streaming is the way to go. Or just not the way to go, but it's just the market. The market is streaming these days.
Yeah. And then I guess the money is, you know, the products and the merch and all that stuff you can sell around, and also live. Like, do you have any sort of plans? Because you've got the, it sounds like, you know, the streaming thing, you've got it on lock. You know exactly what you're doing. But obviously, there's a lot of things with live that are out of your control. I mean, but would you, I don't know how it would work, but would you do like somehow getting a concert on the internet or something? Or how do you see going forward from now?
Well, going forward from now, I'm just patiently waiting how the whole corona thing plays out, because that's obviously affecting live shows in general, or like just events with people summoning. It's like summoning demons. What are the words?
Bring me.
Yeah. No, but like, you know, just people gathering in big crowds and shit. I actually had, so my last show I had was the 2nd of September, and that was already with corona restrictions and like all that. Mm. And yeah, I'm just waiting to see how that plays out, because as soon as it's possible to do it on a scale that's actually gonna be just be able to do it, then I'm gonna start and see to come to the UK and play at least a show in London and one in Manchester, because the people are there, the fans are there.
Yeah.
Just judging of what's happening to my music, not looking at my social media, like on Facebook, I got like 2,500 likes and shit. On Instagram, it's 200 people, so it's not that. But just based off the strength of what's happening to my music with all the insight I got on that Spotify, you know, artists, portal, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, actually, there is certain ways to go about it yourself. Obviously, a booker is always nice to have, because he got the connections, he got it all. But then again, I always do stumble across the right people in the randomest spots and situations. That's why you just gotta get out there. like when I was doing my last show before the Rona hit, that was the 15th of February. And there, for example, I met the guy who's doing like booking for two or three big clubs in Hamburg, including the Indra, which is where the Beatles played in Hamburg before they made it.
Yeah, early 60s. Holy.
Yes.
You have to do a gig in there?
Yeah, I'm actually gonna go. I'm actually gonna do a gig in there in May if it's gonna happen.
Oh my god! Please let me out of the country. I want to be there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be something. That will be something. That will be amazing.
Oh man, yeah, hell yeah! Because that's before they've been to the US or anything. You know, that's before Beatlemania.
Yeah.
So maybe what would be the name of yours? Beatlemania. Yeah. Make it happen. Yeah, man. But like, I'll be a fanboy.
Just what a historic place to stand and be able to perform. I don't prefer it by the looks of it, by the way the room is compared to other venues that I had the pleasure to perform at. But just to add it to my catalog of venues that I played at, that's just amazing by itself. So yeah, but you see, like I met that dude at another gig, and then you meet bookers just here and there if you keep your eyes out and talk to people and just socialize when you're in the right places at the right time, I guess.
Yeah, just getting those links, and then you never know who people know and all that kind of. It's interesting, man. The way
exactly.
Do you ever sort of wish back that it was like those Beatles days where you just, because they've obviously, you know, they were just starting or whatever, and I don't even think Ringo had been in the band very long at that point or whatever. But it's like, if you've got a good product, it was going to sell back then, because you would just, as soon as you're into the label, it's done. But now you could have an amazing product and you can have the right people, but there's so many different factors that come into it, like even releasing, you know, the time of release and all this sort of stuff. Like,
yeah, it's true. Like, you know, of course I do to a degree, and some days more than others. But at the same time, as I said, there's no point in complaining about the circumstances or the cards that I've dealt. I just got to adjust to what is. Like, why would I bother, you know, crying like, oh, you know, back in the day, this and that would have been way better. Like, yeah, but it's not back in the day. You know, it's right now, motherfuckers. Yeah. Just go up and do what you can. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Especially, now it's true, though, because especially, like, if you want to make it as an artist, as far as I'm concerned, you got to make good music. You got to be able to perform live. You got to be able to include the crowd and win over crowds that don't necessarily are there for you and shit when you're opening for somebody or something. And you have to be able to market yourself. You have to know about this. You have to know, like, you have to be an all-rounder nowadays to make it as an artist. And especially with artists, because we're creative people and we spend a lot of time in our head, I just feel like there's so much people just standing in their way and, you know, failing because they're not doing, but all they do is second guess and doubt and just spend too much time in their head. And they're just not out there doing shit. They don't get out there trying shit because they could fail. They just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, they end up sort of, is that sort of strive for perfection. Like, if they're not just happy to just put something out there and see how it does and see, because, you know, if something that's not perfect for me might go out and it might, you know, I might be the next Justin Bieber or something. Who knows?
You never know. you never fucking know. You know, that's something I had to learn as well. Like when I was starting out, like when I didn't have that confidence in me and what I'm doing in my path and all that, like I could spend weeks of like fine scaling some shit about the song, which no one ever is going to hear but myself anyway.
Yeah.
You know, just to get as close, just to manifest, you know, because I was saying that it usually would have been like, just try to manifest the song into reality the way I had it in my head, not being open to the possibility of it manifesting itself the way it's supposed, like, you know, just like that trying to make shit perfect when actually no one's hearing that shit about you. Like, no one's gonna be like, oh, I like the way that this ad lib was, like, you know, with a little different compression or like 0.2 decibel louder or quieter. No one gives a fuck. No one cares. No one's gonna hear it. Just put it out and see what you do.
how would you feel about, I mean, all this effort and all this, like, all the stuff that goes in? I mean, a lot of people are just going to be listening on, you know, little tin pot earphones, or maybe just playing it out of their telephone anyway. And you're like,
exactly,
you know how much effort I put in, and I wasted another month like fine tuning those little bits. And this is like,
exactly, bro. Exactly. That's another thing that, like, I obviously listen to music with some decent, let's just call it decent headphones. And that's just the way I prefer to hear music, like shut myself out and just have the music in my head and hear nothing at all and all that. And like, my listening process has changed as well. Back in the day, I just consumed the music. Now I'm looking at it from a producer type of perspective, or like, oh, I like how he engineered this and that. Oh, I like how he put this and that together. I like the pen, like just my listening process has changed as well. But obviously, yeah, man, that's a thing. Like, most people don't have that headphones. Most people don't give a fuck. Most people just listen to it on their fucking phones. And that means that automatically 80% of the shit that I've been doing is getting lost anyway.
Yeah, it's just so bizarre. You know,
so there's just plenty of reasons as of why trying to make that shit perfect. Like, there's a fine line, even if you want to make shit perfect, spending more time changing and adjusting shit does not mean you're getting a better product, because at some point you're messing it up too much and it's actually going to get worse rather than better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is what comedians say. There's a theory about, if you have a joke, it ripens like a fruit on the vine. So you have the idea for a funny thing, but you can't put it out there because it's just a seed or something. And then it gets good and it ripens. But then if you leave it on the tree and you don't like put it into a special, if you don't do it, it's just going to go bad and it's wasted, kind of thing. So I suppose that applies actually across, doesn't it? Yeah, like all sort of arty stuff.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good fucking metaphor. That's a good metaphor. There's just so much shit in general that it feels good to talk about all that too.
Mm.
Like, for sure. It just feels good to, because I'm reflecting my own story and my own past and my own journey with it as I'm speaking to you. At the same time, I'm talking to you, so I'm talking to somebody familiar and shit. So it's different than people trying to interview. Like, I turned down every interview offer that I had but one, and I didn't turn that down because I knew the person too, but then it just ended up not happening at all. So, you know, this is probably the best way people are going to get me to talk about the whole PTM shit as of now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The best way for them to hear me talk about it is probably with your podcast, up until, I don't know, 2 years, when it's like Genius and like this and that trying to interview me and shit.
Oh, mate, this is.
So whatever you want to talk about, just shoot.
I mean, I'm intrigued, like, with when you're writing your lyrics and stuff, is it a hurdle? Because obviously German's your first language, but the market and the main people that are going to be digesting this, I imagine, and where the money is all US, and, you know, that's where it's the biggest market. I mean, does it hold you back a bit, like having to do English songs? Because I know there's some songs that are still just German, and there's the odd German lyric that comes through, but do you find that the German lyrics are they more poignant to you?
When it comes down to writing the lyrics, it's definitely not a hurdle. Like, I'd say it's even easier for me. Or like, let me put it this way. Writing some songs in general is harder than writing some other songs. Like, as I was saying, sometimes I just pick up the pen, but that's what I trained myself to do as well. Because I know that when I got something, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter where I'm at. Like, my mom could be trying to call me for like 10 times. I wouldn't fucking pick up, because I know that as soon as I accept any other vibe, no matter where it comes from, it's going to mess up my vibe. And I'm in the zone right now. So now what I try to do is I always finish at least the first draft. When I know I got something, because it's kind of writing itself and it's coming out of a spot of pure inspiration, I just force myself sometimes to not do anything at all until the fucking first draft or the final, or like just the lyrics are completely done. Then talking about the, sometimes I didn't like my delivery that much in English when I started out doing shit, especially when I was like not delivering that emotional, but like trying to be more smooth with it and shit. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I didn't like that, but then again, you know, you always do get better. So now I feel I'm at a point where it does matter. Like, to be honest, it does matter, bro. I prefer English because it's way, like, it's less fucked up grammar. It's simpler. I'm listening to way more English rap and music than German. So yeah, it's not a hurdle, not at all. But then again, what I'm trying to say is that there is obviously songs that write themselves easier than others. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be in the room whilst you're doing this, man. Like, the concept of a song writing itself to me, just that it doesn't even
well,
like I just sat back, I put my hands behind my head, and what do you know, 5 or 6 songs just wrote themselves. I was just like, you're a lucky man to have that.
Fucking feels though. That's how it feels though. Like, I can tell you there is days where I force myself to be like, all right, now you're just making rhyme schemes, or now you're just, you know, writing to whatever beat, or like, just, you got to train it to be good at it. And the more creative you get, that's when you get really creative while you're doing it. But what I mean is saying that some songs write themselves, I know it's me doing it. I don't necessarily know where it's coming from. And I definitely don't know sometimes how I do know what to write next. I just know.
So if
that makes sense.
So it's almost
like, I know it's me, but it's like, it's more, I'm the vessel, like, transporting that energy. Like, for example, there are songs, if I listen to a beat, sometimes in my, like, it's just in my head without thinking about it. It's the first line, and I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm onto something, write it down. And then it just happens. Like, I don't know.
So it's not even just hook driven. Okay, well, we've got the hook and that's kind of given me a word to rhyme with. You've got more like a theme, like a kind of, okay, well, I want it to generally be about this. And then, yeah, I suppose this is one thing. It's like, not trying to put it into words is just not going to happen, is it? It's just the creative.
Yeah, it's not. Like, I can try, I can give it another shot. So let's go to I started out, because in my head it just went like, jeden Tag dieser, jeden, all right, so I wrote that down, and then I kept repeating that out loud until in my head it was like just the next line. Just like, obviously, that's not going to be every fucking song that's out there or that's going to come out, but it's definitely a lot of them. And of course, I do have songs where it's like a lot of thought in the structure and a lot of thought into every line almost, and a lot of thought in how am I going to tell what I'm trying to say. But I'm actually focusing more on those organic songs with that natural, just that true inspiration, I guess. Like, I'm trying to focus more on that than being like, all right, this is what I talk about, this is the concept, all right, this and that. I'm focusing more on the natural shit because it's working for me, I guess. Like, I feel you should always do what's working for you. But then again, there are some concepts that I've written down where I'm like, all right, there's a genius concept, but how do I go about it? That definitely exists too.
Do you ever, like, I don't know, do you ever have an idea, but then you're not near your studio or anything, and you're just like, well, shit. Like, I mean, have you ever because it all sounds so quick and so just out of the air. Have you ever sort of missed out on any good tunes because you couldn't get them down or you couldn't record it in any way?
Well, let me put it this way. Two things. So there's going to be a song coming out next year. It's called No One Understands. And the hook in that song is something that I was scribbling down 3 years ago, a bit more than 3 years ago, working at the bakery. And I was scribbling it down with no beat, no nothing. Like, just, I was actually taking the cashier thing, ripping out empty bills so I could have a blank piece of paper and just scribbling it down. And I knew it was going to be a hook. I knew it's fucking dope shit, but I never knew what it's going to be good for up until that song that I just wrote last year, probably about 4 months ago. Plus, I always tell that story too when I'm performing it too. Same bakery, same episode of my life. And I had the Pay Bills and Then Die beat. I already had it and I was listening to it. So I was able to have the tempo and everything in my head. Same bakery, nothing to do. And I was like, fuck this shit. That's not where I want to be. That's not what I want to do. That's not where I want to go. Like, obviously it was just, I didn't want to pursue a career in baking and, like, you know, yeah, that type of shit.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, doing a job to keep me afloat. But same bakery, I just went to the back and I wrote the whole first verse for Pay Bills and Then Die with no beat, no nothing. Like, I could, I had to play the beat in my head and write it all out. And it was one of those songs that was kind of writing itself. But then obviously I had to go back and be like, does it actually fit? You know, because I wasn't able to hear the beat. I just had to picture it myself.
Mm.
So now basically when I know I'm onto something, I have to write it down. It doesn't matter if it's like my fucking hand or like my phone. Yeah. If my phone is not near, it's a piece of paper. It doesn't matter. Like, I always write it down. And when I really love it or when it's really hitting me, I will find a way to finish it and make it happen and put it on a record.
So then your phone or whatever, you've just got kind of pieces of the puzzle, and then a project will be emerging a year or in this case years later, and you go, actually, I've got something banked that would actually fit in there. So it's actually quite reassuring to hear that. Like, I was under the impression for a second there that they just came fully formed, like, you know, you just
no.
Like, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna write, and there it is, wallop. It's thought of, it's recorded in a day or two. It's like,
no, that's the best case scenario, and it did happen and it does happen, but obviously it's not the majority of it. Obviously, the majority is like, all right, so this is a thing. This is something that I want to do. I've been wanting to do it for about 2 years now. I have so much songs or song ideas and halfway written songs, but also actually finished songs that at some point I printed it all out. And do you know, the big office folders, I printed out half of my shit. It's so big and I didn't even work through it all. So there's plenty of shit. There's more shit than I remember. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so of the songs coming out next year, is it that you're confident that you've got enough bits or whatever? Or are they literally here and ready and done?
Yeah, the majority of it is ready. The majority of my second album is ready too. Actually, the whole fucking album is done. I just got to record it or, like, you know, clear this and that sample or have this mix and mastered, or, like, you know, get the track stems so I could. The album is done. The majority of the singles is done too. Well, not the majority, that's lying. So I'm gonna drop 11 singles, hopefully, to promote the album, or just like in the weeks leading up to the album.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not worried too much about what I'm gonna release after the album, but the majority of the songs that I'm going to do before, they're done. And there's a lot of shit from back in the day. There's some a cappella bits. There's like a lot of shit that's coming out next year. Some of it is like out of that pile where I just, you know, knew it's fitting, or like, oh, this is this, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of it is out of that pile. So I definitely got to work through that.
Nice. And what sort of goes into deciding whether a song is just going to be a straight up single, or whether you go, actually, that could fit together for an album? Is the album going to have a sort of a theme, or is there a, is there something that links those songs together that's separate from the other singles?
Well, with Cock Back and Shoot, it was actually going to be two EPs, but then I decided to make it an album. So it was going to be the Cock Back EP and the Shoot EP. Mm. And for me personally, there is like an overall theme on the album. There's a story I'm telling. I don't know how people perceive it and what people make of it. And it was a little chaotic too, to a degree. But now with the second album, it's going to be more obvious and more obvious. And it's going to be a theme, and it's going to be another na-na-na and na-na-na situation.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, obviously with the album, it was kind of like, so short story about how the first album came together. It was my producer calling me up late at night when I was just new at college studying. And I was like, you know, that's great, the people, and, you know, using my brain like that, it doesn't matter how many books are. And then he was calling me up drunk as hell at 2 a.m. He's about 40-something. He was calling me. Well, there's so many people coming to me to record, or like wanting something from me, or ask me to do something for him. And they're taking vocal lessons. They're doing this and that. They're doing all this, but in my opinion, they're not supposed to do this shit. But I've been knowing you for quite some time now. You don't want to do it at all. You don't do any of this at all. But if you ask me, you're supposed to do this shit. And he was like, just put down an album, like just put together an album and figure out how to pay me later on, which is a blessing on many levels. Same thing for charging. Like, he's literally believing in me so much that he's doing his services for like a tiny bit of what he's actually charging, because he's believing in me so much. But that's another story. So then I had to be like, all right, fuck college just for a week. And what could you actually do to create an album? Because that's another gripe about how the music industry is set up and working these days, is there is just very little albums that's still real albums. You have like, all right, so that's going to be the two singles. This is that. Like, there is not many concept albums out there no more. So I was like trying to come up with something that does that. And with the second album, I did, and it got better just by the concept and the product that ended up happening. It gotten way better than the first one. So yeah,
hell yeah.
It was the same thing though. Just sorry for interrupting you, but it was the same thing as last time though. I was like, you got so much songs ready to come out, you do want to make a second album, and then it's just me playing with track lists and then being like, oh, that's a good move. All right, so you do this and that. So I actually saved it in my phone as first draft, but fuck it, it's the final draft. Like, it's a good one.
Yeah. Oh man. So you say it's da 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 and da 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 da. Is that a secret for now then? I assume so. You're teasing that. The new
name. How much time we actually are doing this shit? Let me know how much time we're actually doing this.
Well, this now,
do you have any clue?
We've been speaking now for an hour and a half.
Damn. Yeah. Damn. All right. Just because, whoever is listening to this shit right now and you've just been putting through to all of it because it was interesting, whatever it was, I actually want to give you a little something to make it pay off for you. And I'm going to drop the album title. Basically, I just want to tell it to you, bro.
Oh, yeah.
The album title is going to be Falling Down and Coming Up.
Okay. So is it another sort of one that could have been, you know, like two EPs, like almost this is the journey down and then the journey back kind of thing. Is there a half and
yeah,
half?
Kind of like that. Yeah, it's kind of like the same. I could have done that. And it's also like, oh man, I'm going to send you the first draft of the artwork later on because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. So it is like the story of, it is falling down, whatever that meant to me or means to me, or, you know, was captured in my music. And then it's coming up as in what has happened recently in the past couple of months with my music, plus further than that.
Yeah.
Like plus from the perspective of me right now, plus the like what's bound to happen in the next couple of years and what I want myself to remember when it actually gets that big and shit.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Well, this is huge.
Yeah, man. I hope it does. I hope it does be. Well, basically, bro, I'm just trying to enjoy. This is a funny thing too, and I don't want to rant on about for too long, but it's just crazy when it all started out to blow up the way it did. It was insane. Like, it was like a dream come true because I was looking at my numbers for so long. And then within weeks, I was doing more than I had achieved in years. So it felt like...
Main factor? Was that Brains on the Rhymes that did that? Or what was the one that actually made it really grow?
It was no song. It was a marketing strategy.
Okay, you saved that for the ebook.
Exactly. So it was no particular song. It was a marketing strategy. And I was very, very blessed that even though I did put in the work, I was very blessed. Like, I didn't expect that result at all. I knew something was bound to happen, but no fucking way I would have pictured that what happened would have happened, right? Or like would eventually happen. So the first days, it felt like a dream. 3 days in, I had the game DMing me about my music too. So like it just felt like a crazy fucking ride. It felt like a crazy fucking dream, everything. And this funny thing about it, the first week, I was just amped up all day, every day. Like every second of the day, I was like, damn, this happening for me. Like my mind was racing so fast. And like, that was just a fire spark because obviously it's tough when this, like last year was supposed to be my year, but then all my gigs got canceled and all of that happened. So that was just like, I was on fucking fire, bro. I could barely sleep. I could barely sleep at night after that DM from the game and after doing those numbers. And then from its ego, like this is something I learned about me and my ego, not bragging about it or nothing, but just for me personally, because I was so amazed for 5 days. Like I was looking at the portal, the artist portal, and I could see how many people are listening right now. And I was like, this is insane. Like every time I was checking, it was at least 2 or 3 people listening and it got bigger. Now it's even bigger than back then. So I was like, I was so amped up. It felt like my brain was just releasing so much dopamine and serotonin and all that type of shit.
Yeah.
That on the 6th day, I woke up in the morning and I felt so burnt out. I still had to go to work. And I was like, fuck, like, I just felt so drained. And I realized, because bro, to be honest, like I was acting like I was doing the best coke ever for like the whole fucking 5 days, right? Because I was just so, yeah, it was mental, bro, I can tell. So then on the 6th day, I felt so fucking burned out. And that's when I realized like I had to acknowledge what's happening, but at the same time, have it become normal, you know? Because of course, at some point that was gonna happen. Of course, people are listening to your shit because you've been doing it, you've been putting out the energy and, you know, don't go too crazy about it. Like, of course, like just have a normal relationship to it. And now, like, it's still every fucking day, it's about 1,000 people listening to my music on Spotify alone. Yeah. And now it's almost like, if it's like 700 or 600, it's almost like, fuck, like, what's, you know what I mean? Mm. Because I got so used to it. But at the same time, I always want to remember the feeling that I had of like 300 people for the first time listening in one day, and 400 people, like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. That's just me learning something about my ego. But at the same time, I had to have it be normal, because otherwise, how would I be able to handle the next level? You know, at some point, it's going to be tens of thousands of people, and I can't be like, oh, you know, it's like, nah, you can't have that. And at the same time, it's just numbers. But when I'm looking at in the artist portal, when I'm looking at all the personalized playlists, like, I can see that people put my music into their own little playlists and then they listen to it and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helps me turn these numbers from numbers into, damn, that's human beings listening and experiencing your mind captured on a record. You know what I mean? Like, that's helping making it that. And then it doesn't matter if it's 100 or 200 people, then that's crazy by itself already. You know what I mean? Like, there was this one playlist. How do you call the thing that you put on like a small wound? The thing that Nelly had in his face his music videos.
In the US, they'd call it a Band-Aid, and here we call it a plaster.
Oh, that's beautiful. Let's yes. The thing Nelly always used to have in his videos.
Yeah, yeah, like, stuck in the cheek.
Yep. So there was this one playlist, and that just fucking hit me. So I was looking at it, and I was seeing that in the past 28 days, it was about 380 playlists in general that my music was played in. And this one playlist was called Plaster for Your Soul, and it had Heaven Above in it.
Oh, man.
And that hit me, bro, because that was like, I was just amazed by the fact that another human mind experienced a piece of my mind captured on the record like that. And felt that way about it. You know, I was just amazed by the fact that my music can do that to somebody, and then picturing them being sad or down or whatever, or hurting, like actually hurting deep down inside.
Mm.
They fucking putting on that song and feeling like it's a plaster for the soul. Like that, bro, that was crazy.
Well, the thing is as well, like, it's your art, but what it's going to mean to other people is just totally out of your control. You don't know what context, like, for example, someone might hear it whilst they're doing the garden or something, or someone might hear it whilst they're doing this. So to them, it becomes that, oh, I'm going to put that on my gardening playlist. Like, or someone else might do it while they're in the shower, or someone else might do it while they're playing sport or whatever, but there's no way you control it. So, I mean, some people might just take a song that you think, oh, I just wrote this down in a day, and it's just one I'm going to put out there, but that might really hit hard. And then the other way, it might be something that you've put your heart and soul into, and then they'll go, oh, I like the beat or something. Like, and it's not the bit that you want them to like, but that's out of your control, isn't it, at a point?
It isn't. But especially with Heaven Above, I feel like it's the most, just based on the hook alone, it's the song with the most universal appeal.
Mm.
Because it's like, do we know there's a heaven above? Do we really meet whoever we love, whoever we lost? How can I dearly sleep at 7 in love if I can clearly see a motherfucking heaven above? Like, every human being can relate to the experience of like having lost somebody, asking themselves these existential questions of life and shit. And that's why it's the most pop, like the most heard, streamed or whatever song I got.
Mm.
So obviously that was really something. But then again, it is true what you're saying, because some songs I feel like, damn, that's a fucking banger, and that's gonna get this much attention, or that people are gonna, that's gonna resonate this or that way with people. But then I'm just completely wrong. You know, like, it's because, as you said, I don't control it. All I can do is fucking putting it out there. Just like I'm saying in The Way I Feel, which has dropped in November, it's like the only thing in my control, me though.
Mm.
You know, like, that's, it's all, at the end of the day, it's all you can control.
That's it.
ever in life. It's yourself, your actions. And then again, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm recommending, I'm giving people sunshine, and now I'm giving them The Way I Feel, just because that is so, like, you know, tunes you can play in your car kind of thing, and then they're going to deep dive and go into it. Like, yeah.
If they fuck with it, they're going to be willing to take the time to look it up and see what else I got.
Exactly. So it's just having those, because, I mean, the last one, before I sort of wrapped it up, I don't know whether this is something you want to go into, but I'm intrigued more about The Marathon Continues and the story behind that, because I know that's another poignant song, isn't it?
Well, The Marathon Continues, there's the guy on the cover is Nipsey Hussle. I don't know if you've heard of him and are familiar with his music and what he did and shit.
I've heard songs, but I don't know the whole story or anything.
All right. So basically, keeping it short, he's just somebody that is providing a certain type of energy and a certain type of wisdom. I'd call it wisdom. Some things he's providing in some of his songs, obviously not all of them, but there's just some songs that resonate, and some things he's saying that just resonate so fucking bad with my real self and the journey, particularly with the journey that I'm on with PTM and shit. So when he died, I obviously felt a type of way. You know, with artists, if they put up personal shit, you develop a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And when Mac Miller passed away, it was the day after my mom's birthday. Now, it was my mom's birthday. Now, sitting at the, he just was like, yeah, you know, as you know, Mac Miller passed. And I was like, hold on, what? You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
And I looked it up. I was like, damn, like, drug overdose, da 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 da. And Heaven Above is actually inspired by Mac Miller's death.
Wow.
Yeah, back then I was, you know it, I was drinking lean too much. And I kind of had that codeine habit that I developed. And it was just a dark, dark space that I was at mentally, I guess. So I could kind of relate to him being addicted to opioids as well and all that type of shit. So yeah, Heaven Above is definitely inspired by his passing. But back to The Marathon Continues. So I felt a type of way. And the beat of The Marathon Continues is actually a remake of a song that that already exists and is from Nipsey Hussle.
Okay.
I'm going to send you a link later on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you a link later on. It's called Victory Lap. It's of the... of his last album called Victory Lap as well. And it's just such a, that's one of those songs where it's fucking gems in him, in my opinion. And
okay.
I just wanted to in a way honor what he did for me with his music. And the first verse is me in 2018 being back then already fed up by depending on other people to do my music shit. That's why it's like, everyone around me using me for profit, you know, time to go the harder way and cut them off quick. Shit ain't what it's supposed to now. Now I'm on my own grind. I teach me how to mix and master all my records. I don't need you, that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second verse, starting with, I can tell but sit and think life is a magical journey. I wrote that 2019, October 2019. So that was another song that came together over years and I didn't know it was going to be a song coming together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wanted to honor his legacy and honor what he did to me. And at the same time, represent what he stood for with his music and his raps and his lyrics and all that, just what he stood for and what he gave to me, just honor that. But I didn't want to cloud chase or like do it, you know, as a marketing move or something. That's why I put the song out about a year after he actually passed.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that as well so people can actually hear what you're talking about as well, that tune. Because yeah. I haven't heard that either. I didn't know that. And yeah, no, it's interesting, man. It's interesting just to hear where it all comes from. Like I could ask you about every single song. I could be like, who's this? Why is this? Why is this lyric in German? Why is this and that? And, you know, it's like an old phrase they say, well, to actually get to the heart of art in a way like this is like dissecting a frog. I mean, yeah. no one's ever going to be able to know, and also the frog dies. Like, it's just
true. Like, that's another thing that's so fucking true, bro, because I'm actually working on a thing where I'm kind of taking the people behind the process of the songs, or like the story of the songs, how it came together, the lyrics, what I'm trying to say with it and all that. And I've been, and I still am, kind of hesitant towards the whole idea, because I don't want to give a blueprint, you know. I don't want people to go like, oh, but I took it this or that way, but that's clearly wrong because he told me what he was thinking about it, because that's not at all what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you still got it right. Like, however you perceived it to be, that's your fucking truth, and that's the truth. Like, there is more than one truth to everything in life. So that's why I was always like, do I really want to give sort of a blueprint that people can follow, because they actually know now what it is, especially with the lyrics and shit. But at the same time, as you say, I just feel like it's such a good way to actually dive into how it just happened, because I'm not somebody who's like putting on a beat, letting the mic run and freestyling something and then putting it out there. You know, that's not the type of music that I do. That's not who I am. So yeah, I appreciate the opportunity too, to give the people a little, you know, background type of story and like getting to know me and shit and all that. And yeah, I definitely got to come back too.
Oh yeah, man. I think this is just the beginning. And well, as we're speaking now, If It Was Easy just dropped yesterday on Spotify.
Yeah.
And cop that shit. Go and buy that. Actually, put money over the till wherever you can.
Right. We just been going on for a long fucking time, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I think that is a nice way to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Appreciate you giving me some time, man. It's been quality to fucking sit down and have some space.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening all the way to the end. You are a bloody diamond. But before you go, I do have a nice idea for a future podcast, so bear with me. Hang on, I wrote this as a Facebook status. Right, here we go. So I want to make a time capsule episode, and it will be, I'm going to schedule it to upload on the 1st of Jan 2022, and it's just going to be messages from people from back in Jan of 2021. So all you need to do is record a voice note with your name, the date of recording, where you are, and a quick message to the future of humanity. please try not to have copyrighted music in there, or I won't be able to play it. But yeah, send your clips to tidbitspod@protonmail.com. That email's in the description. And the deadline for those submissions is, it will be the end of the day of January the 31st of this year. So then I'll put them all together, schedule the upload, and then we can forget about it and have a laugh at the start of next year. But nice idea, innit? So that's reliant on you guys getting involved. So please do. And yeah, please share this around. And one last thing, do try and keep those messages light. I don't want to be spreading too much doom and gloom, unless it's funny, of course. But that's it from me. Thanks again to Moose for coming on. You can, well, show him some love by buying his songs wherever you can, and subscribing, and you know, all that good stuff. Listen to the new single as well. If It Was Easy, that's out now. By the time this comes out, there's probably more singles though, as you can tell by the chat, there's going to be a lot coming. So exciting times for PTM. I'll put all that in the notes as well. And if you fancy, yeah, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple, show him some love as well, put a nice little message for Moosey in there. That'd be awesome. But yeah, that's it for now, and I'll catch you next time. See you later.